This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. President Donald Trump does not seem to be able to articulate himself very well, as his unscripted speeches and off-the-cuff comments illustrate. But apparently this was not always the case. STAT, the life sciences publication of the Boston Globe, just published a report questioning whether Trump is experiencing cognitive decline. The publication reviewed decades of Trump's on-air interviews and compared them to Q&A sessions since his inauguration. According to the report's author, the differences are, quote, striking and unmistakable. Before we speak with Sharon Begley, who is the author of the report, I want to play a video of Trump speaking in 2015, very early during the time when he started campaigning for president.
Having nuclear, my uncle was a great professor and scientist and engineer, Dr. John Trump at MIT. Good genes, very good genes, okay? Very smart. The Wharton School of Finance, very good, very smart. You know, if you're a conservative Republican, if I were a liberal, if I ran as a liberal Democrat, they would say I'm one of the smartest people anywhere in the world. It's true. But when you're a conservative Republican, they try, do they do a number? That's why I always started, went to Wharton, was a good student, went there, did this, built the, you know, I have to give my credentials all the time, because we're at a little disadvantage. But you look at the nuclear deal, the thing that really bothers me, it would have been so easy, and it's not as important as these lives are. Nuclear is so powerful. My uncle explained that to me many, many years ago, the power, and that was 35 years ago, he would explain the power of what's going to happen, and he was right. Who would have thought? But when you look at what's going on with the four prisoners, now it used to be three, now it's four. But when it was three, and even now, I would have said, it's all in the messenger. Fellas, and it is fellas because, you know, they haven't figured that the women are smarter right now than the men, so, you know, it's going to take them about another 150 years. But the Persians are great negotiators. The Iranians are great negotiators. So, and they just killed. They just killed us. This is.
And that is an excerpt of Trump giving a stump speech that didn't seem to be scripted in the very early part of his presidential campaign. Well, he didn't always sound this incoherent, and joining me now to talk about what might be going on is Sharon Begley, the senior science writer for STAT, which is the life sciences publication of the Boston Globe. Previously, she was the senior health and science correspondent at Reuters. She was also the science editor and the science columnist at Newsweek and a contributing writer at the Daily Beast. From 2002 to 2007, she was a science columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Previous to that, the science editor at Newsweek. She's also the co-author of the 2012 book, The Emotional Life of Your Brain, the author of the 2007 book, Train Your Mind, Change Your Brain, and the co-author of the 2002 book, The Mind and the Brain. Sharon Begley now joins me on the phone. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Sonali. It's good to be with you.
So first, let's talk about what led you to want to examine Trump's speech patterns. When we, of course, watched him during the campaign, sometimes it's been very obvious that he isn't very good at articulating himself. But I had not realized until I read your article what a difference there is between today and about 10, 20 years ago. What started this?
Right. So what happened was last week during his press conference, he gave an answer that was more than unusually garbled. I'll just read part of it. There is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians zero. So, you know, if you look at it carefully, especially in print rather than just hearing it live, you can figure out what he was trying to say. But after that, a number of people who recall the old Trump, the New York developer, the man about town in the 1980s and 90s, started saying, you know, he just sounded very, very different back then. And fortunately, a number of clips exist because he was quite prominent, and this is even well before the era of Celebrity Apprentice. So I was able to go back and dig up recorded interviews of him going back to 1980 through the 1990s, and I started listening to them myself.
In fact, let's play an excerpt from one of those interviews, which you actually showed in your article for Stat. This is Donald Trump on Larry King Live in 1987, talking about poverty and homelessness in the U.S.
You are a very wealthy man and have many contacts. Why can't you do more for the hungry and the homeless in New York?
I think it's a very good question, and I'd like to. That you have, and you have a major problem. The problem that you have is you need, it's such a big, big dilemma. You really need federal government assistance, not even city government. The city governments have to be competent, capable, etc. But you really need the federal government to step in. That's why it bothers me so much that when we give this kind of money to the wealthiest countries in the world, and yet for our own people, the homeless, the sick, the poor, the farmers, who are really going through hell right now, those people we're not helping.
And that is Donald Trump in 1987 speaking to Larry King Live, Larry King on Larry King Live about poverty and homelessness in the U.S. Sharon, he absolutely sounded so much more articulate. He was able to complete full sentences. He had a little bit of repetition, but no more than what is sort of normal. And in this particular instance, do you think it was just him being sort of comfortable? He's not running for president, so maybe he was just able to speak more clearly.
Well, and that's absolutely something that I asked all the experts, the ones who were kind enough to listen to many of these old clips for me, said that they did notice a dramatic deterioration in his fluency, in the level at which he spoke, vocabulary, sentence structure. We can get to more examples later if you like. And so the question obviously arose, well, what could explain it? So the Larry King interview, as you said, 1987, that was not a terribly confrontational one, I guess we should say. But many of the others that Trump did back then, he did not get only softball questions. Interviewers asked him about his brush with bankruptcy. They asked about his divorce from his first wife, Ivana. So they were challenging him. So they were somewhat stressful interviews. So you could argue that they were not as stressful as standing up in front of a room full of reporters when you're president and are fielding arguably hostile questions. But I absolutely want to put that out there. In addition to the hypothesis that there might be some cognitive decline here, it could also be that his emotions are affecting his ability to speak spontaneously in 2017. So there are a number of possible explanations for what we're observing.
Mm-hmm. Let's play one more clip from the younger Trump. This was in 1992 during Ross Perot's presidential campaign, and he spoke with Charlie Rose.
I will say this, Ross Perot, he made some monumental mistakes. Had he not dropped out of the election, had he not made the gaffes about, you know, the watchdogs and the guard dogs and everybody coming at the house, and, you know, if he didn't have three or four bad days, and they were real bad days, he could have conceivably won this crazy election.
You'll get some.
And that is Ross Perot's election era when Donald Trump spoke to Charlie Rose. This was 25 years ago. So Sharon, after reviewing these older clips from decades ago, you spoke with a number of scientists, people who basically study how language can deteriorate, who study cognitive science. What were some of the things that some of these scientists told you about how Trump's linguistic skills seem to have deteriorated?
Right. And, you know, I'm a science reporter. I'm not a political reporter. And the reason I thought this might be interesting is because language, facility with language, fluency, the level at which one speaks spontaneously, that is a well-recognized biomarker, as it's called, of cognitive decline. Now, we have to say up front, there are many people who do not speak all that well when they are 25, when they're 30, and that's just how they're wired. That's just how they are. So what neurolinguists and neurologists look for is a comparison across time. So when you have a record of how someone spoke decades ago, and now how he speaks, Trump, of course, will be 71 next month, it can be an indication that something is going on. So what might that something be? One is normal aging-related cognitive decline. as we get older, just as our memories become a little less robust, so can our speaking style. That's one possibility. Another is that there's something pathological going on. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to distinguish between those two. But let me go back to a point I made a minute ago, Sonali. There could be no cognitive decline here at all. It could simply be that in the heat of the emotions that Trump is feeling, he has trouble speaking as well as he did decades ago. And I have to throw out another possibility that the experts mentioned. This could be strategic. I'm glad you played the Charlie Rose clip, because one of the really striking things there was, and this is a simple thing, and it will bring your audience back to when they were in grade school, but just let me call out one. Trump said, had he not dropped out of the election, had he not made the gaffes, blah, 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 speaking of Ross Perot. Just look carefully. His sentence structure was, had he not, starting with a verb, then the sentence, rather than something that most people would say, if he hadn't. So the had he not construction is considered somewhat elevated syntactically. So getting back to the point about whether Trump's current speaking style might be deliberate, it might be strategic, it's absolutely possible that he is speaking in the way he does because he believes that is what his base wants to hear from him, and that they would not be as appreciative, if that's the right word, if he spoke the way he did in 1992.
In your article, you point out that Trump used to use not just sophisticated sentence construction, but just words. I mean, he would, you say he peppered his answers with words and phrases such as subsided, inclination, discredited, sparring session, certain innate intelligence, etc. So it was interesting that a few weeks ago in an interview with The Economist, he used the phrase priming the pump when talking about economic stimulation. But he was so proud of having used this phrase, he asked The Economist interviewer if that person had ever heard of that phrase, and then took credit for inventing that phrase. This was also unusual. I wonder if you'd seen that. So between then and now, then he used to use sophisticated phrasing. Now when he uses something, he thinks he's invented it. What does that say?
Yes. So remember, Trump graduated from the Wharton School. He got an MBA. He had thorough grounding in economics and finance. I am hard pressed to disbelieve that he did not know the phrase priming the pump, at least some number of years ago. However, there's something called source memory, which refers to where do you know something from? Did this friend say it to you? Did another friend say it to you? Did you hear it on TV? Did you read it? And it could absolutely be that Trump subconsciously came up with the phrase priming the pump because it was in his sort of dim, dark memory. And he just did not realize that it was a phrase that has been in common usage among economists for decades. And he legitimately thought that he had come up with it himself. And the reason I give him the benefit of the doubt is exactly the reaction that you've seen. Everybody leapt on that saying, how could he not realize that that's a very common phrase used in economics? So he would be caught if he made the claim that he had made it up himself. So I have to believe that he did not, his source memory just failed him in this case. He did not realize that it was something that he had known from ages ago.
And I'm wondering if in the lead up to the election campaign that a lot of people didn't notice that Trump had been having difficulty speaking clearly, because all we saw of him was his reality TV show, The Apprentice. So that was the majority of what we saw. Last year, editors who worked on that TV show revealed how they had to do so much careful editing of the footage that they got featuring Trump, because so much of it was, in their words, a disaster. And they basically, one of them said, you know, their job was to, quote, make Trump look good, make him look wealthy and legitimate. And that was our objective. So, I mean, of course, he doesn't have the benefit of having editors clean up his presidential speeches, right?
Yes, and that's why I keep using the phrase spontaneous speech, Sonali. We're not talking about what someone says when he is reading a teleprompter, obviously. We're not talking about reading a speech. We are talking about what someone says in the course of normal conversation, or in Trump's case, an interview, a question and answer session with reporters or others. And it's in that situation where your true abilities to think linguistically emerge. So in contrast to the Trump of the 80s and 90s, yes, there was a Celebrity Apprentice examples from his February press conference. He repeated the phrase, or the self-repetitious, very, very 20 times. He had a variation on thing, something, anything 102 times. So another mark that cognitive linguists look for in people's spontaneous speech is how precise and vivid their words are. Thing is, of course, about the least vivid, least precise thing you can, there I go, word that you can say. And so if he keeps going to that well, anything, something, thing, that is another marker that something might be going on here. Where I thought you were going with the question was how well Trump spoke on the campaign trail. And there I would simply say, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, that is not truly spontaneous speech, because he, like all candidates, had a stump speech. If not word for word, it was structured. There were go-to phrases in addition to Make America Great Again. And in that kind of setting, that does not really reveal what your linguistic abilities are.
Right. It's when there's often a sort of exchange, particularly during interviews, right, when you have spontaneous speech, that you can then really judge how the person might be forming their speech patterns. So Sharon, what could explain this decline? I mean, there is decline. You studied speeches and his speech, rather, from many years ago till now, and it's pretty clear just from what we've even seen and heard today. What could explain this? Could it just simply be normal aging? And we've had a lot, you know, we've had presidents in their 70s before.
Yes, although he will be the oldest president. Yeah. It absolutely could be normal aging, or it could be pathological aging. And a number of readers have asked me, why do you want to even mention the possibility of pathological aging, i.e. the possibility of mild cognitive impairment, which is sometimes a prelude to Alzheimer's? And they're right. I mean, the consequences of either of those, normal cognitive aging or something pathological, are the same. You have cognitive impairment. So that would be one category. The other is that he is frustrated. Actually, that's something that he has remarked on in one of his 100 days interviews with Reuters. He talked about how he thought this job would be easier. He expected to work hard, of course. He didn't think it would be this hard. He didn't think that people would be blocking him, slowing down what he has tried to do, referring, of course, to the courts and to Congress. So I think it's very reasonable to infer that he feels frustrated, he feels angry, and either of those emotions and others can impair your ability to speech. And I'll just repeat what I said a couple of minutes ago. It could also be strategic, that he is deliberately not speaking at the level that he did decades ago. He is not saying things like, had he not done this and that. He is not uttering sentences like, I had a 15-year run that was virtually unprecedented. There you see the ego, but it's a turn of phrase that you just don't hear from him anymore. I obviously am not privy to the political strategic calculations, but perhaps he and or his advisors have determined, have concluded that speaking at the level that he currently does is just better for his public persona.
Now, what about the possibility of Alzheimer's? We know that Trump's father, Fred Trump, had Alzheimer's, and we also know that it is a disease that is, that you know, if you have a parent with Alzheimer's, you have a greater risk of developing the disease yourself. Do any of the things that you've seen, are they possibly consistent with or Alzheimer's? Did any of the experts you spoke to pick up on that or comment on that?
Certainly not Alzheimer's yet. The closest the linguists and neurologists came was saying this is consistent with the kind of cognitive impairment that can come with, again, either normal aging or mild cognitive impairment called MCI, which can be a prelude to Alzheimer's. But it's impossible to tell. It's absolutely impossible for an outsider simply observing Trump to tell, to make a diagnosis of either MCI or cognitive decline with aging requires an extensive battery of tests. And clearly that is not happening. Whether it will happen, I cannot speculate, but all we can do at this point is say that what we as the public have observed is consistent with either of those possibilities.
Well, finally, assuming that he is not doing it on purpose, he's not purposely dumbing down his speech, assuming that, could a cognitive decline in speech be related to overall brain function reduction, or is it just something that through normal aging or even pathological loss of, you know, the ability to speak in sophisticated sentences, could that be an indication of something else going on in the brain, or is it just something that affects the way you speak?
No, the concern is that the regions of the brain that are involved in language include, in particular, the prefrontal cortex. That is where our working memory is. So there you might explain, or that's how you might explain, for instance, a difficulty coming up with words other than thing and anything and something. The prefrontal cortex is also the site of other higher order cognitive functions, such as judgment, wisdom, planning, the things that really make us human. So because language is controlled by the same region, the prefrontal cortex that controls these other cognitive functions, yes, the concern is that there's something going on there that will have manifestations and consequences for behavior and abilities that go beyond simply how a person speaks.
And I know that there's some people who are very upset whenever anybody questions, Trump's mental health, because there's this fear that if you demonize mental illness, that you do greater harm for those people who struggle with mental illness themselves. And I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts on that, on the importance of doing this kind of research and talking about this.
I think it is important. And regardless of the political implications of, you know, this analysis, if it lights a fire under some people or their families to pay attention to linguistic decline and to have yourself checked out or to have a loved one checked out, it absolutely can be a harbinger of impending problems. And those are not inevitable. There are things you can do about them, but it's certainly good to know sooner rather than later.
Well, Sharon, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article from our website later. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Sharon Begley, senior science writer for STAT, the life sciences publication of the Boston Globe. Her article is entitled, Trump Wasn't Always So Linguistically Challenged. What Could Explain the Change? I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.